Well, let's see, we've got about a minute here as the rest of the saints are coming in. Let's read something out of Isaiah 57, 1 and 2. He's talking about the times of darkness. Okay, the righteous perishes and no man lays it to heart. And merciful men are taken away. None consider that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. This is what Isaiah was facing in his time, about 700 years before Christ. Here's another one, Isaiah 59, 21, and also 60, 1 through 5. See if we get through this one here. As for me, this is my covenant with him, says the Lord. My spirit is upon you, and my words which I put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth. And that's exactly what we do. From the foundation of truth in the heart, to the words, for those things which the Spirit, that which the anointing selects to express one to another in your charity. Nor are the mouth of the seed your seed, nor are the mouth of your seed seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. So this is the pattern that the Lord was establishing in ancient times, was carried forth through the ministry of Jesus, the early church, and today. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, the calling. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Now this was depicting the sixth Enochian week, which has to do with the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. How will his glory be seen upon you? That has to do with the dreams and the visions, which God elected to manifest in order to call forth stewardship. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and we can see this happening today. And kings to the brightness of your rising, which has to do with the calling, kings and priests. Lift up your eyes, run about, and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then shall you see and flow together. That has to do with the unity. And your heart shall fear and be enlarged. Well, that's a good one, isn't it? We know our source, that if the source of the spring, like if the spring dries up, okay, then the flags wither. Okay, but if the spring or the creek or the river, okay, is flowing, okay, then the reeds or the vegetation along the river continues to remain healthy. Then you shall see and flow together. The anointing will continue to bring freshness to the trees of righteousness which are planted, okay, by that river. And your heart shall fear and be enlarged, knowing that that river will not go dry. Because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto you, the forces of Gentiles shall come unto you. As Isaiah said, Isaiah 59, 21 and 60, 1 through 5. All right, we have to stop right there. And open your Bibles there to the book of Ephesians, where we're starting today. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. All right, so make sure you have your notepad ready, your highlight in your pen. And also, it's a good thing to have your notepad and your pen also at your bedstand when the Spirit of the Lord begins to minister to you, either what level 1 dream or level 2 dream, or perhaps as you're praying in the Spirit, okay, that you might even hear the voice of the Lord speak to you, okay, in the form of prophecy, in the form of charity. Okay, which can happen, it can happen any time and can happen numerous times. Whereas you begin to, you can hear that voice. Well, we're going to pick up here. Ephesians chapter 6, okay, in verse 1, of course, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We talked about that last week. And unfolding this mystery, okay, unfolding the mystery, the offspring of righteousness, okay, the offspring of righteousness, they will live by this anointing. So he's talking about showing respect and restrictions. Children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In other words, this was designed by God for this purpose. And he goes on talking about servants, and that's where we'll start here in verse 5 about servants. So we can see that the Lord is depicting, okay, the assembly of the saints to that of a family, okay, father, mother, children, okay, and servants. Okay, but these things, okay, are reflective concerning the house of God. And this is what he talks about right here. as unto Christ. Okay, we see that in verse 5. If you want to highlight that, as unto Christ. Okay, and he says, as the servants of Christ in verse 6. Okay, and he says, as to the Lord in verse 7. And we can go on as concerning the servitude of the family. Okay, is a servitude of God. Okay, the oversight. Okay, that's why the Lord, okay, bestowed so many powers within the female, Eve. Okay, and yet gave the stewardship to Adam. Okay, and this was to oversee the needs, okay, of the priesthood. So we see stewardship and priesthood depicted early within the first family, okay, with Adam and Eve. Okay, how these powers would be under the oversight of stewardship, okay, as Eve received the bestowing of, okay, more functional spirits, okay, and more powers. And this is for the purpose of propagation, multiplication. And the Lord does the same thing in regarding the church. He bestows the gifts of his propitiation. He bestows these powers, and these powers which he bestows within the church, okay, or also known as in the feminine, the church, the feminine, the priesthood, okay, is for the purpose of a reciprocation. The powers are there for the purpose of reciprocation. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord is drawn to the power, okay, as Adam was drawn to Eve. Okay, and this form of bonding and unity is for the purpose of enlargement, multiplication, okay, and peace. So he goes on here, servants, even as to Christ servants. Okay, we as Christ servants, being even servants of the flesh, or employees, in another way to put it, as employees. Okay, as to honor restrictions, okay, honor restrictions, and also to observe, okay, the boundaries, observe restrictions, and also honor the boundaries between, like, employee and employer. So servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, okay, because this is your peace, because God rewards those, okay, that submit to him. Okay, God rewards those that submit to him. Okay, so we can see in the natural, in regarding service and reward, as we can see in the kingdom of God, service and reward. Okay, the grace which is provided for us is for reciprocation. He rewards our choices. Okay, he rewards our choices with more gifts. Okay, so servants, be obedient to them that your masters according to the flesh. Okay, and to be without delay. Okay, without the delay, also observe the laws of the principle, knowing how passions will shift. And think of his word, okay, as to the voice of the Lord. Okay, for all souls belong to God. So he says, and fear, with fear. Okay, knowing our source, that the stream will not go dry. The stream of his grace will not go dry. So servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Okay, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Make sure you highlight the word as unto Christ. All souls belong to God, whether the sinner or the saint. All souls belong to God. Okay, everything is set within the scale of God's plan. He judges and corrects everything according to his holiness, according to Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, not with eye service. Of course, we'll be jumping to Titus 3 here in a moment. Okay, not with eye service. Okay, in other words, he's saying you're not a hypocrite to do so. Okay, so you don't have to feign. You have to feign these things. You don't have to feign the open sign. Okay, to muse the conscience as the world's wisdom teaches. Okay, the world's wisdom teaches the feigning of obedience. Okay, and people will feign in order to gain. Okay, their prospective aspirations. Okay, but not so in the kingdom of God. You can't feign your faith and gain increase in the kingdom of God, knowing that our Lord knows the hearts of all men. So he says here, not with eye servants as men pleasers, as the world teaches, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Okay, because we express the power through our charity. Okay, doing the will of God from the heart. We express the will of God. Okay, and this power is expressed in charity. So the more you sow, the more you grow. Okay, the application, the greater the application, the greater the yield. Okay, the greater yield, the more increase. Okay, if you sow a garden, that's what you're going to reap, a garden. Okay, if you sow a field, that's what you can reap, a field. Okay, so the more you sow, the more you grow. All right, now let's jump over to Titus chapter 3. We're going to see some more of this application as the Apostle Paul is giving instruction to Titus. Now, Titus and Paul worked together, and Titus was sent ahead of Paul here, and we'll be reading some more about that and in the conclusion of this chapter. Okay, we're in Titus chapter 3. We'll be reading the whole chapter. Okay, but we'll be going from here to Philemon and also to Peter, to 1 Peter. Okay, so let's start here in chapter 3, Titus chapter 3. He said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. In other words, Paul is saying to explain to Titus, okay, remind the saints to observe the local authority. Okay, mostly when you're preaching, so as not don't sympathize with the base or common people. Okay, the preaching of the gospel is not set within the perimeters of sympathy, okay, with the issues. Okay, with the issues of that nation or the issues of that kingdom or the issues of that city. Okay, so he's saying here, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. Okay, not the principalities and powers of the air. We're not putting in mind to honor Satan's authority. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the principalities and powers, okay, which are set within the earthly kingdom, okay, which God oversees. Okay, though the sinner may give themselves over to the perspective of Satan, seeing that Satan, okay, Satan writes within her heart certain perspectives of agreement. Okay, Satan will agree with anything but the covenant. Okay, so Satan will give assistance through seducing spirits. Seducing spirits is false grace. Seducing spirits agree through the imagination, the aspiration, the principle. Okay, the whole world lies, okay, under that influence, under that oppression, for those points of agreement in order to feel that they're advancing. The God code must advance, okay, or else it goes into depression. Okay, if the God code cannot advance, if it's not being fed, then it falls into depression. It's like watching a fly in the windowsill. Okay, you watch a fly in the windowsill, the fly will keep banging into the windowsill until it finally exhausts itself. You come back later and the fly is laying on his back. Okay, can no longer express what it was designed to do. Okay, and being frustrated, you know, it gave up the ghost. Okay, and so the God code, okay, which of course all Adamites, all creation possesses it, okay, has to have its feeding time. Okay, it has to be, it has to have its sources in order to progress to its full stature and full design. That's why the grace of God is important for us as we continue to partake of his fullness, because the God code which was designed within us, we call it the God code, for which our Father is, the design of our Father was put within us. We see that in the book of Genesis, that we are created in his image and likeness. So the very God code of who our Father is was put within our own design to follow through as being heirs of God. Okay, that we are in a preparatory stage of this great inheritance to which there is no exhaustion to the God code. Okay, that the God code which we are designed with will continue to be fed, okay, with an eternal river, okay, being that of the Father's bosom, the baptism of light. Okay, and this eternal river, okay, feeding the God code will continue to enlarge us. As we're enlarged, we go from as being kings and priests to being kings of kings and a priest of many priests. Okay, throughout all dimensions, which are created through us, just like it was through our Father. The wisdom of God will assist us, okay, within this design and by these powers, the seven spirits of God. Okay, the seven spirits of our Father, okay, assisted him in this design, okay, within his bosom before it was initiated and put within a form to which it would be expressed. Okay, in other words, the soul was first designed, then put within the body. Okay, and so the God code must be fed. Okay, so the principalities and powers right here, okay, which the Apostle Paul is bringing to the attention of Titus, Paul is cautioning him, okay, don't violate these things. Okay, it only will work hostility and suspicion, which they're already under. Okay, Satan is already putting them under, okay, the perspective of suspicion. All the adversary is doing now is looking for an opportunity to exploit it, okay, within the righteous. Okay, and then try to bring persecution against it, okay, in order to justify or to arrest their own conscience. Remember, sinners persecute the saint in order to arrest their own conscience. As the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the lawyers persecuted Jesus, they did so to try to find peace in their conscience. Okay, but they couldn't find peace in their conscience. Okay, so Satan inflamed that envy and that malice, okay, to the point of murder, as he did so with Cain against Abel. And as he also planned in the heart of Esau against Jacob, except the Lord intervened. Okay, and by the counsel of the Spirit, okay, Jacob was sent away. So he says here, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. Okay, not sympathizing with the issues, but to obey magistrates here. Okay, to be ready to every good work. Okay, which means we're respecting their government. Then he goes on here, but rather point out to the common people, point out to them the true hope. Okay, for hope will silence the murmuring lips. Okay, and God also will reward. Okay, reward their obedience with peace. So he says here to in verse 2, to speak evil of no man. So in other words, don't take sides on issues or speak harsh words to incite violence. Now the Apostle Paul is putting his own experience within this instruction. And we'll see this here in verse 3. Okay, to speak evil of no man. Now remember, the Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, was a Pharisee. He was also in Jerusalem. He could see the oppression of his own people, of the Jews, okay, by the Romans. He was observing that. So to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, as to protest and secular events. Okay, but gentle, okay, be passive, okay, and to show temperance and long-suffering for others to emulate in faith. To be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Okay, and then he goes on to his own history. For we, as Jews, we incited violence concerning our oppression. Okay, our oppression of the Romans. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. We were ensnared in these worldly issues, that is to protect a religious culture. And even requested a murderer as Barabbas to be released, to please us by this law. Okay, and also to shield our envy, to shield our own hypocrisy. Okay, thus sowing bad feelings in the Romans. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient. Now he wasn't talking about his calling. He was talking about his history. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, mostly to the Romans, and hating one another, even in rival tribes. There was constant rivalry between Judah and Israel. Okay, between that which is of Jerusalem, okay, under Judah, with a few people from the neighboring tribes, even as Ephraim and some from Benjamin and Joseph. Okay, but the other 10, okay, were sided in against them, hateful and hating one another. So we talk about the rival of the tribes and the Jewish history reveals. But God here, he's saying here, but God still fulfilled his promises, even when we lived in ignorance, by sending his son. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Even when we were ignorant, he sent a son. Even in the state of the church today, even in the state of the church, the false religious system, okay, and the prevailing ignorance that's within them, the rapture is still going to happen. They're just not going to be taken. But the rapture is still going to happen. Because the time frame which our Father has assigned for this fulfillment, okay, is not based upon their cooperation. It's based on his own calendar. He marked the calendar. So what the results will be up to that point, okay, will be in a form of exception to him. Okay, because following that will be the second rapture, okay, in which even more people will be taken. Okay, but God is not desperate of fellowship. Okay, he's looking for the product of it. He's looking for its perfection. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. Okay, at the appointed time, regardless of the context in which he was manifested, being born in the time of Herod, okay, that the stage was already being set. The Romans were ruling; they were under martial law. You would think, well, why didn't our Father send his son in a more favorable environment to which he would receive. Because the wisdom of our Father, being far greater than ours, foresaw, even before the world was created, the results that would be pending if he favors the ignorance. Okay, nothing of his plan will be ever achieved. So he had to put contradiction, okay, even as it is today. You notice the contradiction that exists in the world today, okay, is a reflective of that which is even in the first century. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, which I just talked about, not by our works of righteousness, that is, which is by the law. The righteousness of the law, which means the thing that they observed, which they had to labor with in order for their faith to be accepted. For not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. That is the appointed time. By his mercy he saved us. And how did he do this? So you highlight these two words right here, regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. By his mercy he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, okay, which is reflective upon the times of Noah. Okay, regeneration has to do with also the incident that took place, okay, concerning the deluge, okay, of Noah. God was bringing a conclusion, okay, to the first part of the plan by introducing another part, like creating a new heavens and new earth. He's going to conclude this dimension, okay, at the appointed time by fire. And following that would be the 10th week, the 10th Enochian week, whereas he will introduce a new heavens and new earth, Revelations 21 and 22. Okay, bring that out to us. But until then, okay, the earth is going to go through a great travail, and this is judgments. Okay, the judgments of blood. That's why the blood is mentioned, okay, throughout the judgments of God there, from the blowing of the trumpet judgments to the pouring out of the vial judgments. Okay, blood, okay, fire and hail. Okay, the things which Jesus spoke about, okay, are necessity and reflective concerning the hardness of the heart and the judgments of hail which he has prepared, okay, which was equal to the offense. The judgment God prepares is equal to the offense. So just in the first year of the 7-year tribulation, and there will be a manifestation of these severe judgments to where over 2 billion people will have their lives lost, okay, just within that first year, over 2 billion people. To conclude at the end of the 7-year tribulation, okay, will be like a handful left, a few million. So you can see that the intensity of this is to reduce the population for the purpose of introducing, okay, us, okay, during the millennial reign. So he's reducing the resources of iniquity under Satan's kingdom, locking up Satan, okay, for 1,000 years, okay, reducing the population right down to zilch, okay, and setting forth the judgments, okay, upon the survivors that had the mark, okay, and introducing us, okay, for the purpose of repopulation, regeneration, and renewing, okay, which is also a reflective concerning what's taking place within our own soul, okay, as concerning the washing and regeneration. Okay, God is renewing us by this knowledge, the washing and renewing. So regeneration, the experience is followed by the knowledge. Okay, our obedience, okay, is forthcoming, okay, for this experience, even as Abraham. Abraham was reflective of grace, received the experience, and gained the knowledge. Okay, so we follow through in the same kind of cycles. Okay, obedience to faith, experience, and increasing of knowledge, okay, through your cycles of growth. So in his mercy he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, the daily gifts of his new covenant. So he's sustaining our faith by this anointing. The Lord came to the form of the flesh and communicated in the level of the language of the people, but spoke, okay, of things that were beyond their own comprehension experience. And that's why it was said repeatedly, how can we hear you? It's difficult. You speak harsh or hard words. It's very difficult for us to grasp this, okay, of what you're talking about. And many would say, why are you listening to this guy? He doesn't make sense. No, the anointing doesn't make sense to the flesh, because the flesh only communicates on its own level. The anointing communicates on the level of the Creator. So our Father put His Spirit within us for this form of communication, and also for by this form of communication, there will be a cooperation. If you don't understand what He's saying, how can you cooperate? The false religious system is trying to cooperate with God in their ignorance. That's like a wild horse. They're like a wild horse. A wild horse doesn't submit to the commands of the cowboy. Okay, the cowboy, they have to chase and rope the horse, okay, and then they have to corral the horse, okay, and then they have to go through a process, okay, of breaking the horse. They call it breaking the horse, okay, breaking its pride. And so as we continue to take on the yoke of Christ, it breaks the pride, okay, through regeneration and renewing of the mind. So the gifts which He has provided for us, okay, is assisting us and sustaining us through this due process of breaking and fruit-bearing, so that that we can live the rest of our lives within this dimension, being fruitful for His kingdom here, okay, and forever, okay, within the bosom of our Father. Now, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. See that verse 6. Jesus Christ our Savior, which shows that He is the preservative, okay, of our soul. Jesus Christ our Savior. He's the preservative of it. He's the salt. And this is what He brings out. Jesus speaks of that Himself, okay, being that preservative. Okay, every sacrifice shall be salted with salt, okay, and every offering salted with fire. Okay, which, of course, the fire of this anointing is the preservative, okay, of our faith. So that He sustains us year after year, and month after month, and week after week, and daily. Okay, does He sustain us as we continue to make application? As He calls us forth, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, come, drink of the water of life freely. He that hears, say, come. That's what we're doing. We hear, we say, come and drink of Him. And through this ingestion, okay, of knowledge, okay, you're preserving your soul, Jesus Christ our Savior. Okay, so by these things, He washes our soul by this new knowledge. The knowledge is our baptism. The knowledge is our baptism of fire by which He's washing us and purging us. Okay, and by doing so, as our Savior, He is the very record of our priesthood. He's the record of our priesthood that saves. Verse 7, that being justified by His grace, okay, that is by this anointing, that being justified by His grace, by His anointing, okay, now we are free from the law of condemnation to act in His interest. Okay, we can act in His interest without guilt. Okay, the law only addresses the condition of the soul. It addresses the condition of the soul under condemnation. It is the soul in its original state is not acceptable to the Lord. It has to go through a transition. And our Father promised us these things in His bosom before the creation of the world, that He would assist us, through this transition and adoption, that we can enter into the inheritance which all of us were oohing and awing at, okay, when we were in the Father's bosom, as He was opening, displaying the riches and the depthness of His glory, okay, which was beyond the horizon. Okay, it was beyond the horizon of our sight. Okay, this was in the Father's bosom before we came down here. Okay, now He concealed within the conscience the seed, okay, the seed of information, which would be awakened upon the scent of grace. Okay, which our Father sprinkles upon all souls. Okay, because every soul belongs to Him. He sprinkles this upon all souls to draw them to Himself. Okay, but the protester, okay, offers the options. Satan offers the options. And those which accept the options are considered those that are in association with Satan, being protesters, sinners, the ungodly. They're the fruitless ones. They live for themselves. Okay, the aspiration, the imagination, the principle. Okay, so here we are freed from the condemnation of this law. Okay, to function within His interest with His goal in mind. Okay, that being justified by His grace. See the word grace right there. Okay, that's for the purpose. For this purpose to seal our adoption as sons. that we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. For he sealed the seed of hope in our conscience and to be awakened at the appointed time. And now we prophesy of this miracle. That's what you're doing. You're prophesying of this miracle. Because our testimony is Jesus Christ. And being the testimony of Jesus Christ is prophecy. We prophesy of him. We testify of him through our prophecy. Our prophecy is this charity. This charity is the preservative of your soul. We're saved by love. Verse 8. Now this is a faithful saying. I like the word faithful saying here. Because he's talking about, when he says the word faithful saying, he says, okay, the knowledge that I'm provided for you is pure and is good. Okay, it's good for your sacrifices. This is a faithful saying. So these things are good for spiritual sacrifices of charity, which I give you, which Paul's saying here, which I give you to manifest the tether of our communication, okay, and also the tether of our community, and also to communicate to us these things in your charity. All converted believers will follow this pattern, knowing the skill of judgment is in the calling by which we nourish your faith, that is those of covenant faith. Okay, these things are good and profitable to men. Wisdom is specific. It's not random. Okay, to possess the equity and to also increase the benefit. To increase the benefit everyone, as we taught you, as Paul says, as we taught you. So this is a faithful saying. How is the word faithful saying? Okay, the faithful saying has to do with these good works. The good works has to do with the foundation which is being laid within your heart. And also the expression of your charity and your priesthood. That through the sowing and reaping of your cycles of growth, or you call it seasons, okay, of your cycles of growth, the God code which is within you is being fed and preserved and being prepared for the baptism of light. So this is a faithful saying for your sacrifices. And these things, see the word these things there, okay, all things which he addressed for regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he abundantly shed upon us, okay, is to assist us in this transition. Okay, so this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly. See the word affirm there. The word affirm is saying, this is what you're communicating in your charity. Okay, nothing needs to be changed. Nothing needs to be improved. You're doing good. Nothing to be changed. Nothing to be improved. You don't have to resource books, go to your local library to try to improve your charity. Okay, it's written within your heart. It's not over your head that you have to reach up. It's not beneath that you have to dig in the earth to find it. Okay, it's written and inscribed within your heart. So this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works, to remain consistent with this pattern. These things are good and profitable unto men, as we have taught you. These things, see the word these things again. The gifts, the callings, the graces of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy. Okay, the elements of this altar don't need to be changed or to be reevaluated. Okay, or to be rearranged. You don't need to rearrange them in order to improve your charity, okay, or to find substance for your charity. It's there. It's already done. You just enter into it. Okay, the table is set. Just come and sit down and eat. Well, let's go on here. These things are good and profitable unto men. Verse 9. But avoid foolish questions and genealogy and contentions. Now, the Apostle Paul is bringing Titus again to the point of contrast, isn't he? Okay, he says, but reject the foolish counsel and the aimless, random challenges of those of doubt, double-mindedness, and finally, perdition, okay, is what they're going to fall into. Okay, they're going to go into sedition, perdition. But avoid foolish questions, genealogies. Okay, when he says the word genealogies, he's talking about as concerning your source of knowledge. Is your source of knowledge by the rabbinical writers? Okay, or is your source of knowledge just by these fishermen who call themselves the servants and disciples of what they call Jesus Christ? This was a constant challenge in the first century, but it's not the same challenge we face today. Okay, it was a constant challenge back then. Okay, but though the challenge is different, okay, yet the challenge, but there is a challenge. Okay, in regarding the calling, because there are many that say, unless you've seen Jesus personally, how can you be called? Okay, well, how can the eternal church be the eternal church if it's only set within the perimeters of one set time in the first century? Okay, the church which the Lord has called is perpetual. So therefore, they wrote these letters for the purpose of that which of those which would be called forth in the future, thousands of years in the future. They knew it was going to be thousands of years in the future. They knew they were going to die. And Jesus even said to Peter and to John, and Peter asked him, what about this guy? How is he going to die? And of course, the Lord told him, he says, that's not really for you to know exactly how John here, okay, my friend John is going to die. But this is what's going to happen to you, Peter. You are going to grow old in your age to the point where you're going to be assisted to your death. Okay, that's why the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Chief Elder Peter there, okay, wrote the epistles with such adamancy and accuracy, knowing the counsel that our Lord gave to him before the Lord was crucified and ascended into heaven. And this is what he says here, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies, the very root, okay, the very root words. Okay, we can see today that the language of Hebrew, which the Jews are speaking, consists of certain variations to that of the original. Okay, and they're finding documentation of their ancient writings, ancient fathers, okay, to which they struggle to try to understand and read. It is different to the ancients. Okay, so, and they're still struggling with that. Okay, to which the anointing is the eternal thing. The eternal one is the anointing, the unchangeable one, to which dialect we speak by the Spirit. Okay, it's a dialect that's not learned. It's a dialect that's just spoken and experienced. They call the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But avoid foolish questions, he says here, the challenges that only sow doubt, double-mindedness, and sedition. But avoid foolish questions. Remember, Satan wants to loop the unlearned believers through this form of derision. He loops them to this derision like tying a chain around their ankle and making them stand on the edge of a dock. Okay, and drops the heavy chain over, and you see the chain unraveling. All the adversary is doing is just taking his time, talking him through it, and before you know it, he's already gone. Okay, he's taken away by the weight of the chain, okay, and drowned. Okay, all the adversary wants to do is just keep your attention, okay, unfocused from what's really happening. Okay, well, that's why he calls it foolish questions. Okay, it's a redirect. Instead of giving them knowledge for faith, okay, it only sows the concepts of apologetics. Apologetics are people, those which are under the yoke of that derision, are constantly searching for truth. Okay? And the apologetics provides the forum of this debating, okay, of the searching of truth. And so they resource numerous documentations, okay, in order to try to put together something that's comprehensive, okay, simple but comprehensive for their own practice. And they will die in their sins, because they're not in covenant. So therefore, the chain around their ankle just keeps going and going and going and going and going, okay, as they're sitting there on the edge of the dock, and Satan is telling them a grand story of creation, telling the grand stories concerning all the root words of what these things really mean. And as Satan is talking to them, all of a sudden, whoop, they're gone. And Satan says, oh, got another sucker, okay, and so he brings out another person out there. Okay, ties them with the chains of their own apologetics, their own system, their own genealogies. Contentions and strivings about the law. Hide the word strivings about the law. Okay, in other words, it's like sour charity. Sour charity is spoken from a sour soul because a sour soul is absent of the power of faith. Being absent of the power of faith, of course, it vexes the ears of the innocent. Okay, and it's fruitless. It's just fruitless. They're fruitless trees. So he calls it unprofitable. And it's not going to feed the God code. Okay, the sludge of false knowledge. Okay, I mean, sludge can fill a lake. That doesn't make the lake beautiful. It doesn't make the lake fishing available. Okay, it's the sludge. That's what's happening right now on the coast of Turkey. They call it water snot. Okay, on the coast of Turkey. Okay, and it's just gooey stuff that the ocean or the local area just spewed up. And that's what they call it. They call it like a sea snot. Okay? And so that's what it becomes. Okay, sour knowledge, okay, sour charity is the sea snot. To avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, okay, concerning its absent the power. Okay? So they're using the law of Moses, okay, in order to try to bring equity within their own conscience, because their conscience is defiled. Okay, they're trying to resource the law. So they're measuring themselves by themselves. And what did the Apostle Paul say about that? They measuring themselves by themselves are not wise. They're foolish people. Okay, but the anointing brings perfect equity, regardless of the infirmities of our flesh, okay, or our weakness, okay, regardless of our state of being. The anointing continually sustains, brings the equity, and the peace of God rules in your heart. And then he goes on here in verse 10, a man is a heretic. Okay, now, he says right here, those that abominate the government, the truth, and the spirit. Those that abominate the government, truth, and the spirit are heretic. Okay, and the first thing they do is they always attack government. Okay, that means the source of your authority. Then they attack the truth. It's concerning the comprehensive of your own knowledge. Then they come against the spirit, which has to do with that. Because they are not under the anointing, they have to feign their experience, or they have to feign their love for God. They feign their love for God by the law, and they call that feigning the work of the spirit. Yeah, but the wrong one. It's a seducing spirit brought upon by false knowledge or doctrines of devils. In verse 10, a man is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. So he's talking about those which are attending the assembly. Okay, and of course we know that because he's going to bring this out here in the next few verses. Okay, after the first and second admonition reject. So he's talking about right here, these people live by the counsel of the disobedient, which we warn you continually to be watchful against. Be watchful. And that's what our Lord said, be watchful in prayers. Okay, but of course, when Jesus said be watchful in prayer, it wasn't outside of his kingdom. It was inside of his kingdom. But those which are outside the kingdom make application for their own aspiration. The only thing they're watching out of prayer for, is what they can make gain by. Okay, but that is not so in the kingdom of God. The things that we are pursuing for profit has to do with the preservation of the soul, that we worship our Father in spirit and in truth by the anointing on the foundation of truth. That's why he says, the Father seeks such to worship him that worship him in spirit and in truth. When he's talking about spirit and truth, he wasn't talking about and regarding the outflow of the aspiration, the religious aspiration, which the false religious system call working with the spirit. You see this within their own assemblies. Why, even today, they think they're under the influence of the Holy Ghost at the outflow of that aspiration, through dancing or rolling on the ground or laughing, or how loud they play, how long they play, or what they play. Okay, they actually define that as the spirit. It's the wrong spirit. It's a seducing spirit. The seducing spirit is in sympathy with their ignorance, whereas the anointing is in sympathy only with truth. And that's what we worship him, in spirit and in truth. So here he says, a man is a heretic after first and second admonition reject. In other words, you have to ask to leave the assembly, for his goals are only in his own guile. They're based in his own guile, which he nurtures as his piety. Okay, which is false regeneration, which we talked about there in verse 5, is false regeneration. Their application of attendance, or even of the knowledge. If it's absent of the anointing, it's unprofitable for them, if it's absent of the anointing. But we labor with that anointing, which the Lord has bestowed upon us, to see through this plan to reach this goal. Knowing that he that is such a subverted, I like the word subverted there, knowing that he that is such is subverted. That means he's just trying to sort things out of his own conscience to his own approval. And he's using his own scale for his own approval. The false religious system have their own scale. Every denomination has their own scale. And they're measuring your value by their scale. If you go to that church or to that denomination with the anointing upon you and your calling, they will not value your calling, nor the anointing is upon you. They won't value it because they don't see it's how it can fit within the scheme of their own aspiration or the vision for their own church, or for making money. Knowing that he that is such is subverted, he's just trying to sort out his own conscience and sins, because he's not working with the terms of the covenant. He's sinning against God. Of sin because they believe not on me. That's what Jesus said. Of righteousness because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, and of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Jesus brought to attention his disciples these three points. Of sin, because they believed not in me, which he's referencing they will deny this covenant which I'm provided for you. Okay, of righteousness, because of the glory of my Father, a new standard have I set. I set my new standard within this anointing and this calling, which they will deny. And the prince of this world being cast out. Which means that which the anointing provides for you will not be in subjection to the principality and powers of the air. Okay, so the prince of this world is cast out. So Jesus made this known just concerning the sequence of events that would take place, okay, upon a true conversion. So he sins, being condemned of himself. Denied the word condemned of himself. He's manifesting all his own derision. His conclusions will disfavor his own personal expectations and aspirations. Now Paul goes on, 12 through 15 right here, when I shall send Artemis unto you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to meet in Decapolis, for he was waiting there for them. For I determined there to winter, because there, at that point we will have indoor assemblies. That's what he's saying. We'll have indoor assemblies at this time. The harvest is over. We'll have indoor assemblies. Okay, and a lot of saints will be coming in from different areas. Then he said, bring Zenas, Deloitte, and Apollos on a journey, diligently. Or he's saying to them, bring diligently or early before the weather changes and hinders them, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works, for the brethren there can rest, that is from the harvest, and develop and to follow through on good habits of prayer. Okay, they have to labor in the field from morning to evening. Okay, so now, but now they can attend the assembly, now they can get into a different habit. And this is what Paul's saying to Titus there. Okay, when they come in, you know, as they come in, the harvest is completed, things are all done there, they can now get back into the routine, okay, until springtime. And let ours, and he says in verse 14, the brethren there can rest, let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, the daily challenges to exercise their faith, that they be not unfruitful, hide the word unfruitful there, in the reflections of love. They don't be unfruitful in these things. The application, good habits are necessary. So good habits are hard to make and bad habits are hard to break. Reason why we call them bad habits is simply because these were things that were ingrained within you, okay, when you were under the influence of the other system, which God addresses through your level one dreams, okay, and through your cycles of growth. Okay, things begin to change. Your perspective changes on things. Every experience that you have, every encounter with the Spirit, right, brings it tweaks to perspective. You begin to see things more and more differently. All that are with me, being the steward, salute you, as concerning Titus. And he says, Titus, embrace with care those that arrive. Okay, mostly those that accept the government. So all that are with me, salute you. Greet them that love us in the faith. The United that love us in the faith. Okay, those that acknowledge this government, building on this foundation. He says, the Spirit will attend and assist you in this. Grace be with you all. Amen. So his anointing will strengthen you, okay, with each occasion. Now let's jump over to 1 Peter. Okay, as you get your sacrifices ready. We're going to jump over to 1 Peter here just for a moment. Read a few verses there. Okay, 1 Peter 4, 1, 2, 3. Then for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. The same mind which has to do with a perspective is developed through encounter. Every time you encounter, it's like playing a sport. You might know the rules of the sport, but to gain the skills, you have to get on the field. You might know the rules, but to gain the skills, you have to get on the field. Okay? And so we can see that through watching your regeneration and renewing of the mind there, okay, that these things, as a result of your experience, you're on the field. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, the same perspective. Jesus encountered contradiction and overcame. We see these things early on, okay, when after the Holy Ghost descended upon him at John's baptism, he was taken into the wilderness. And there he encountered great contradictions, 40 days and 40 nights. And being hungry, Satan then approached him as concerning making the choices for survival. Now Jesus could easily turn stone into bread, but he awaited the challenge. Okay, and the option was provided for him. And Jesus made the choice. I will obey my Father, okay, even in these times of need. So this teaches us the same thing today. I will obey the Father, even in the choices of need. So instead of reacting as concerning the contradiction, our reaction is in prayer. Okay, so he says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh Okay, which has to do with losing the boasting of the moral code, has ceased from sin and building of that kingdom. Now, when he says sin here, we're talking about a kingdom. It doesn't say cease from your weakness. He says cease from your sin. Sin is the kingdom. Sin is Satan's kingdom. Sins has to do in regarding the fruits of that kingdom, for which the Lord is purging us of. We're no longer in that kingdom. When you received the spirit of your adoption, you left that family of darkness and came into the family of light, okay, to receive a new education. When you came into the house of God, you brought in with you, of course, okay, a lot of those discrepancies that you picked up, okay, in the other kingdom. You lived by those discrepancies, okay, which you called in that kingdom your virtues, your strengths. But when you came in the kingdom of light, that which was your strength in the kingdom of darkness was considered as a barrier to that which is the kingdom of light. And those barriers are removed. Okay, so he lived no longer, that he, verse 2, they lived no longer in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, that which is to pursuing the tokens of survival of the flesh, but to the power of God, the will of God, the power of your charity. Because then they, by the anointing, crucify the aspirations to bring clarity for your faith. Okay, and don't labor in Satan's kingdom for dishonor. Let's go to verse 3 here. For the time pass of our life may suffice us, by the which has to the tools and roots of death, see, are of the primate history and primitive. Primate and primitive. That which is of the flesh is primitive and primate. Okay, lowborn. Okay, so the time pass of our life may suffice us. It confirmed those things of our aspiration. As that's what it means. And our time pass may suffice us. So we have wrought the will of Gentiles, the power and the education of that kingdom. When you walked under the hypnosis of those powers, you walked in lasciviousness. Okay, that means the broad way seemed the right way. The broad way looked like the right way. So the prophetic path of the broad way was the curse. Those that walk on the broad way through the wide gate, that's the prophetic path of the cursed. Okay, we walk on a narrow way through the straight gate, which is the prophetic path of the righteous. They lived according to their own justifications of false grace, lasciviousness, lust, excesses of wine, being intemperate within all things. The indulgences, why did they go this way? Why did they follow that path? The indulgences were to silence guilt. That's what it was for. It was to silence guilt and to try to give substance to the soul. But you notice that the more the application to the false tools, okay, the greater the yearning of the soul. The soul was crying out, feed me, feed me. Okay, but you weren't feeding with the things that were necessarily, say, good for it. Okay, so here that's what he brings out. Okay, there are abominable idolatries. So this is what Paul was bringing out and saying also same thing to Titus. Okay, as Peter is bringing out to the church here. Now we're going to jump from here to go back to Ephesians. Get your sacrifices ready. Okay, back to Ephesians, we're going to verse 8 here. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, there's the word good thing there. Now we're talking, when he says good thing, he's not talking about, okay, the random acts of the world. He's talking about that which is resourcing the treasures of the throne. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same should receive the Lord. That's the equity. See, equity. What you sow is what you gain. We sow is what you grow. Okay, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does in sowing, the same also shall he reap in the harvest. He shall receive the Lord. Okay, the anointing will bring this equity, whether you be bond or free. And you masters, which we're going to read about here in Philemon, you masters, do the same thing to them, forbearing threatening, okay, which has to do with the bending of the will through oppression. The bending of the will through oppression. Knowing that your master also is in heaven. Okay, neither is respect to persons with him. Okay, and so he says here, remember that God doesn't honor anyone's aspiration as a token for faith. Okay, so there neither is respect to persons with him. Now let's go to Philemon here. All right, and Philemon. We're just going to read a few verses here. And we're going to start with one verse 5, and we read 5, 6, and 7. Okay, then we'll go back. Okay, and we'll end there in Ephesians. Okay, hearing of your love and faith. Okay, now this is what Paul told Philemon as he also talked to Titus. Well, hearing of your love and faith, hey, he wasn't just talking about, it's concerning, okay, an explosion of emotional passion there. Okay, hearing of your love and faith, which he's talking about, the attendance of the assembly and the reflection of this knowledge, okay, is evident in the lips of this, of those which are attending the assembly there. Hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, the refuge and remission of sin. That the communication of your faith, I like the word communication there, this is like a level one prophecy, or a spiritual sacrifice, okay, it's like a spiritual sacrifice here. That the communication of your faith, that means the prophecies of your charity, that the communication of your faith may become effectual. It's powerful and living reality. It's effectual. It's a powerful living reality. Because the Spirit will attend, okay, to your expression. The Spirit will attend to that. That's what's happening right now. Okay, as you're putting down on paper or typing in your computer there, laptop, okay, your sacrifice. The Spirit is attending this knowledge. This is a communication of your faith. It may become effectual, living. Okay, by the acknowledging of every good thing, confirming his gifts now, by the acknowledging of every good thing, all the tokens, okay, which are laid in the foundation for your heart, the foundation of your heart, okay, by acknowledging of every good thing which is in you, by the foundation of heart, in Christ Jesus, this holy priesthood. In other words, the rod and thy staff, they comfort you. The rod and thy staff, concerning the stewardship and the priesthood of your comfort, to which you resource, okay, these things. You're resourcing these things, the government, the truth, the spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts, the callings, and graces of God, okay, are there. Okay, for we have great joy. I mean, we view this good with enthusiasm. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, which is your charity. And for this reason, because the bowels of the saints, I like the word bowels there, because for this reason, the soul is full of peace. The bowels of the saints, which means the soul is full of peace. The consolation of your love, because the bowels of saints are refreshed by you, brother. Okay, by you, Philemon. Okay, that is, as you keep the terms of faith. Okay, the bowels of saints are being refreshed within these assemblies. Okay, which Philemon, Apphian, Archippus, the whole assembly there. Okay, which of course he names. This is the whole assembly. Epaphras, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas. Okay, all these are called fellow laborers. We see this here in this one chapter. Okay, in verses 23 and 24. Okay, now let's go back to Ephesians and let's close there. All right, Ephesians, finally, brethren, just leave off here, finally, verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. And that's what we were just reading about in Philemon. The communication of your faith is effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus our Lord. This priesthood bears the resemblance, okay, of its birth parent. Finally, brethren, okay, regardless of the culture or social trend, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord in respect to the authority and divine order. Okay, you can be strong in the Lord, being bold at the altar. Bold at the altar, this is where we honor Christ. This is where we promote faith. Okay, with the power tools, the tokens and these gifts. That's what he brings out here. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Okay, this is the token, the power of his might. The token, and by this token, which proceeds from him. These things proceed from himself as our advocate, okay, and as our propitiation. These are the power tokens. And we'll be talking more about this next week, about the power tokens and the armor of God, which we'll be getting into that. Okay, and also the Apostle Paul brings out again concerning the contrast, about wrestling against, we wrestle not against the physical principalities and powers. Okay, but rather we wrestle against the perceptions and the ideas and the false knowledge. Okay, that is inundating this world and dimension. Okay, will only be rectified upon the return of the Lord. Okay, when he establishes the ninth week. Okay, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.